He's no longer a household name, but he sure was in 1955. That's when Time magazine named Bill Randall the nation's top jock. The legendary disc jockey died of cancer yesterday in Cleveland at the age of 80. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett has this appreciation.
In the wings, a kid in a wild jacket and greased back hair was about to make his American television debut. On stage, a conservative-looking young man in a dark suit and black horn-rimmed glasses stepped in front of the camera.
We'd like at this time to introduce you to a young fellow who, like many performers, Johnny Ray among them, come up out of nowhere to be overnight very big stars. This young fellow we saw for the first time while making a movie short. We think tonight that he's going to make television history for you. We'd like you to meet him now, Elvis Presley, and here he is.
Well, get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots.
Although Ed Sullivan often gets the credit, it was actually Bill Randall who introduced the young Elvis Presley to a national television audience in January of 1956. He always said it was exciting being part of Elvis's rise to stardom, but in a 1993 interview, he also compared it to a science project.
The popular music industry is no different from all areas of popular culture. It's like an amoeba. Touch it in one place, it wiggles all over. It's a very quick antenna that catches all of the rays and puts them down into the system.
Bill Randall shot to stardom in just 5 years. He started at a little station in his hometown of Detroit.
This is Billy Randall bringing you Strictly Jive, America's original daily hot jazz record show.
But in 1949, in a segregated city, he was reportedly fired for playing a Nat King Cole record during the day. Randall wound up at WERE in Cleveland and was fired again for playing a black performer. But the hubbub brought more listeners. He was rehired and became a fixture on Cleveland radio.
This is the Bill Randall Show, Monday through Sunday, 2 to 7 on WERE, AM and FM, we're Cleveland.
At the same time, Randall was also working toward a degree in sociology. He used the methodology he was learning in the classroom to log plays on local jukeboxes and chart phone prefixes on the station's request lines to find out which songs were popular in which parts of the community. Randall quickly learned how to pick a hit. When a young singer named Sam Cooke came to Bill Randall in 1957 pushing his version of Summertime, Randall gave him a crucial piece of advice, says Peter Guralnick, who's writing a Cooke biography.
As soon as they played the B-side, You Send Me, he immediately said, the B-side is the hit, and turned the record over and played nothing but You Send Me. And he said you just couldn't miss it.
Darling, you send me.
On top of his local shift, Randall landed a gig at WCBS in New York, where he commuted on weekends. His reputation as a hit maker was such that when Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton decided to write a pop song on an episode of The Honeymooners, Bill Randall was their go-to guy.
They made a record of the song. Bill Randall at this jockey's going to play it over CBS. I wanted you to be the first to hear it. Wait a minute.
Well, hello again, everyone. This is Bill Randall on WCBS.
By this time, picking the hits became a game that Bill Randall didn't want to play anymore. So he decided to plow his pop music money into more serious work. He became a record producer. One of his first ventures was a recording by Jack Kerouac. Randall also produced the last record by blues legend Big Bill Brunzi.
I've got the key to the highway.
I'll always remember Bill Randall fondly. I knew he was a successful disc jockey in Cleveland.
Chicago author and broadcaster Studs Terkel helped produce that album, which was nominated for a Grammy.
One day he called. He said, he loves jazz and blues and admires Big Bill. Anybody that admires Big Bill, I admire automatically. And he said, I want to put up some dough. Bill had been ill by then, and Bill knew he was dying. So he set it up at Universal Studios, and I never forgot him for that.
Randall went on to record Shakers in New England and Snake Handlers in West Virginia. In 1969, he donated $100,000 worth of materials to the Library of Popular Culture at Ohio's Bowling Green State University. His only request was that one of his prized possessions, an antique national cash register, be displayed at the library's entrance.
Popular culture is totally commodity. The whole symbol is the cash register that you plunk down your money and you pay for it. At least it's a more honest reflection of the validity of the culture than high culture, which is subsidized. And popular culture, there's so many different avenues of it. It comes out of nowhere. People buy it, even though it's artificially created, very often manipulated and exploited, as I did with many artists. There always had to be something there underneath that had some kind of true popular culture validity.
When asked for his key to that secret, Bill Randall was fond of rolling up a shirt sleeve and pointing to his arm. If I saw goosebumps after hearing the first 20 seconds, he said, I knew it was a hit.
Thanks a million for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take it easy. Bye now.
For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.
Now give me one more kiss, baby. Yes, just before I go. 'Cause when I leave you this time now, baby,